Crystal Palace have claimed all 3 points at Anfield today. There's some dejected looks from Liverpool players. Our impeccable home record has been pierced twice in the space of a few days. We give a bad goal away in the first half. Eze set up by Mitchell, unmarked to score. But as we said before, if you don't take your chances, you're not going to win football games. We had huge chances in this game. Endo hit the bar from a corner in the first half. The goalkeeper Henderson has pulled off some great saves in either half. Big chance, Darwin Nunez in the 6-yard box, trying to lash it maybe instead of just place it into the corner. Saved by Henderson. Big chances, Curtis Jones, clean through on goal, has to score. He misses the target, blazes wide. Jota having an effort, cleared off the line by Klein, the ex-Red of all people. Salah missing a great late chance. It's Liverpool 0, Crystal Palace 1.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of events on a disappointing and frustrating afternoon at Anfield as the Eagles held on to collect all 3 points after Eberechi Eze struck in the 5th minute of the game. It means the Reds will end the weekend in 3rd place in the Premier League table. I'm Mark Benstead and you're listening to The Reaction. Over the course of this podcast, we'll bring you the thoughts of Jurgen Klopp and Andy Robertson. First, though, to our pundits, former Liverpool players David James and Martin Kelly, who joined me pitchside for LFC TV's Matchday Reaction Show. That was before the conclusion of Arsenal's game with Aston Villa. Martin, you've got a foot in both camps, obviously, after a spell at Palace as well. A lot to praise Palace for today, I think, in the way they went about things, but also from Liverpool's point of view, Liverpool could have done more.
Yes, certainly. I think we spoke prior to kick-off about Oliver's tactics, that they're going to come out and press Liverpool. They sort of played that mid-block today that worked in their favour. I think Liverpool looked dangerous on every set-piece. Virgil got first contact to most of them. There was a couple of lucky, you know, falls and drops of the balls falling to Palace players, but Liverpool had their opportunities today. Palace, you know, put one away, so it was a credit to the performance to Palace and Liverpool, had the chances, made some good subs. I thought who came on, Elliot made an impact, Gakpo made an impact. So yeah, one of those days to forget. And you know, the thing about the Premier League is the players inside the dressing room know how tough each game is. So they've got to respect the game. They put all the effort they could today in the game. So they've just got to go again, find a way to get into training tomorrow. They won't be used to this loss back to back. They'll understand that, but it's learning. As long as they can improve and take some sort of improvement from the game, they've got to go and try and go again. They're only 2 points behind City, and Arsenal still got to go and play. We could lose themselves. So it's not as if the six points and the title's gone. It's not the case of that. There's still games to go, games to compete for.
Yeah, we'll look at the title race in a broader sense later in the programme. In terms of the here and now and today, I guess double frustration, the fact that the goal which Palace scored, although it was well worked by them, relatively easy to pass through Liverpool and get into a good position for Eze to finish, and also, from a Liverpool point of view, so much time to respond in, yet they couldn't find enough of a response. And those facts will both frustrate Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, I'm just racking through my brains now, because I think Palace's last 4th goals will come in the opening 15 minutes. And when you see these trends, you kind of should be aware of the fact that that means this team probably starts quickly. The goal was avoidable in the sense that it came out wide. I can't remember who put the cross in for Eze to score, but he found himself in acres of space with no one anywhere near. What I say, obviously, acres of space, nowhere near him, but no one aware of him, which was the biggest thing. McAllister had been drawn out, if I remember rightly. And again, this was a situation which was avoidable. Not uncommon for Liverpool to give up opportunities, but the fact that Eze's put it in the back of the net meant that once again Liverpool were chasing. And not long after that, they had a chance where Robbo's cleared it off the line from, I think it was Mateta. Yeah. So the warning signs were always there at the beginning of this game.
Yeah, too easy for when Tyree Mitchell's put that ball in, too easy to get to that position. The game was funny as well, Martin, because although Liverpool had the bulk of it. They had more of the territory, more and around the Palace box, especially in that first half. You always felt Palace still had a threat. You mentioned the Mateta chance where he gets through and Robbo makes that fabulous clearance. There were other moments as well, or every so often there was that little bit of danger from the visitors as well. So it wasn't the case it was a smash and grab by Palace. It was a bit more to what they did today.
Yeah, they didn't set off like I think we were saying in the studio before, that when Palace did win the ball back, it was in the areas where they were one pass away from making something happen. So the credit goes to the way Palace set up and started the game. We said they'd start well. I think you know, Liverpool, our Robbo cleared that one off the line. It's a good job how quick he is, because he could have been two down within the space of 5 minutes. So it was. I still think the game could have gone either way. I don't think we should get away from the fact of that. And we all expect Liverpool to beat Palace at home here. I don't think Palace have ever got in the seasons, you know, going back to 2014-15, since they've come to the Premier League, I don't think they've ever been dominated here. So it was a case of Liverpool taking the opportunities from a set play today. They were well-drilled Palace in terms of so hard to break down. With the mid block that they set up, the three centre halves were probably the best three players, along with Henderson in goals. So the credit has to go towards Palace, who's earned their probably safety in the Premier League for another year.
Liverpool's best XG in a Premier League game since records began, in a game which they didn't score. So Liverpool did create something today, and there was an element, David, through the course of the game, were things, if it was going to drop, it dropped to a Palace player, it dropped away from a Liverpool player. There were a few moments where it just didn't fall for Liverpool this afternoon. I think we have to say that, but we can expect a bit more, can't we? A bit more testing of the goalkeeper, a bit more pace and zip around the area. It was a bit wishful, but hopeful, some of the balls in the closing stages, perhaps?
Well, sorry, I'm laughing because it's very rare that Liverpool don't score. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that might have broken some record. But what also makes me laugh a little bit, sometimes Liverpool can win a game with a really scrappy goal. And it doesn't matter because they've won the game because of the best team. Today they did everything normal, in a sense, to get in a position. Hendo's made a half-decent save in the first half from Diaz at a crucial time. If he doesn't make that save, then all of a sudden Liverpool pile on the pressure and you expect him to go and win. He makes a fantastic save against Nunez in the second half, which if he doesn't make, then Liverpool score and you expect Liverpool to go and win. So all the things that normally happen in games which go slightly the other way. And I think the biggest one, and it pains me a bit because I love the guy, when Curtis Jones gets through one-on-one, you know, maybe Hendo running at him has put him off slightly, he puts it wide in that second half. And again, there were moments where Liverpool had the opportunities, good opportunities to score goals, which they didn't. But you can't just blame the Liverpool players, because when you've got a goalkeeper, and I like think now and again I upset people by making a couple of saves, pulling off a couple of decent saves, that in the end is what stopped Liverpool from getting on the score sheet today. And any one of those goes in, the expectation is that Liverpool would have taken the 3 points. That's what's frustrating.
Mm. It does kind of dampen the mood. You sort of put the three results together. It feels, you know, supporters will feel leaving today, it being doom and gloom. They'll look at the United result, they'll look at what happened in midweek, and look at today. And it's easy for people to let things dip because there's been such a feeling of euphoria this season with how well it had gone. That's what kind of needs arresting, isn't it? It's people need to kind of, and the players need to do this, it kind of needs, okay, forget this, or be motivated by this going into these next matches coming up and realise the point you made a little bit earlier about the league is by far not done yet. There's still a lot of football to be played in this remaining, four, five, 6 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And there's tough games for both rival teams up there. So there's still a game to be played with Arsenal against Villa, who are a very unpredictable side in terms of Unai Emery's done an amazing job with them. So that can go either way. I know that's at the Emirates, so time will tell with that. But the games left, you just got to focus on, I know as crazy as it sounds, that each game at a time and make sure that everyone's fit. Klopp's got a headache with selection and got the players back who he wants back now. So I just hope, you know, Conor Bradley's injury isn't as serious as what it could be. So yeah, I think he's had a storm of a breakthrough season. He's been a really key player to this side. And as good as Trent is with his creativity, I think Conor Bradley sort of made that position his own. So hope he's all right. I think the lads have got to take the recovery on board and get ready for that next game. I think is it, you know, Fulham away
next
after Atalanta. So yeah, they've got to get ready for that and the trip down to London there.
As one of the challenges in these last couple of games, David, been the fact that all of a sudden we're getting players back, and it's getting them back in at the right time, maybe having not had match minutes. That's part of the challenge. Maybe there were moments, and this is just throwing as a reasoning today, maybe there are moments in games where players have maybe got two or three games under their belt, they take better, they deal with better, they're at the speed of a game better. Is that part of what we've seen as players have integrated their way back in the last few matches?
Possibly. Again, I mean, let's be right. The performance today, Liverpool dominated most of the statistics. Shots on target, opportunities, creation, possession, all the things that you would expect from Liverpool that normally gets a win. So it wasn't that the overall performance was bad. There were moments which didn't go in Liverpool's favour. So if in other games where they might have played not as well, it has gone in their favour and they win in it. And as I say, it's kind of like forgotten about whether it was a good or bad performance. I think the other thing which you mentioned there with regards to injuries or the players getting fit, it actually changes the mindset of the players who are in that current position. And we talk about Kelleher today before the game and Ali coming back. Yes, Ali is a better goalkeeper. Yes, Ali's probably the best goalkeeper in the world. But when he's injured, Quinn Kelleher is happy getting ready to play for games. All of a sudden, Ali's getting fit. Well, that question mark then is how long will it be before he takes my place? Doesn't matter who you are, you can't help but think about those things. And if you've got other players around the pitch, seeing Diogo Jota get fit, seeing, as you're talking about with Bradley, getting fit, all of a sudden you start changing mentally the way that you approach games because you're not sure if it's going to be your last for the right reasons. And all these little things could have little impact on how you perform. And as you say, it's not just one game out of the blue where every other game's been a win. You've got Manchester United with a draw, you've got Atalanta midweek with a defeat, and this one with a defeat. All of a sudden, these things start adding up.
It is only the third Premier League defeat of the season. It hasn't been a campaign in which there have been many blips. There have been very few off days in the Premier League, actually, up until this point. That's one of the themes of this season. There aren't many games you can point to and say Liverpool didn't play well in that game. Today probably doesn't fall into that category either, actually. But perhaps it's just the fact that it was a game where they needed to find a couple of extra gears and couldn't. Maybe that's the point, given the stage of the season. Maybe it's amplified by the fact of it being so tight at the top of the table, and that's why people will be kind of frustrated leaving here today. If this had happened in September or something, you maybe brush it off a bit easier, but because it's so tight, we're also engrossed in this title race, that's why people will find it a bit more challenging today to leave here, because people wouldn't have expected this to be the stumbling block. Maybe they would have looked at Everton coming up or one of the other matches as the tricky game.
Yeah, and that's how unpredictable the Premier League is, right? It's got teams in it that are capable of beating each team on the day. I think, you know, as a pundit, you call it the business end of the season, don't you? Where the three in the title race are all competing to win every game. It's not always possible in the Premier League. So I think Liverpool on another day with the, you know, the first contacts going back to every corner that they had today, that Virgil won every one of them. If that falls to a Liverpool player, they're scoring two of them, so it could have been completely different now. It goes off the back of a defeat midweek. It is tough to take, and the lads have got to find some sort of positive outcome for the next game coming up. The guys who have been unfit are now fit, so they're challenging for the place. They'll be wanting to start their game, so that's the headache for Jurgen going into the next game. Who's his strongest side to get points on the board going into, is again the last, you know, five or six games, vitally important that it doesn't slip to more than 2 points. It's still only 2 points at this moment in time.
You know, you guys have both played for numerous teams across this Premier League. Do you think, David, sometimes we get sucked into a situation where we sort of dismiss teams a little bit and say, well, that's a win, that'll be a difficult game, we should be a bit more respectful of the competition. In fact, actually, you know what, especially at this time of season, we mentioned it pre-match, you do get anomalies of results where teams pull a performance out because they need to pull a performance out for their own motivations.
You said that before the game. And what I said before the game, if I'm in that Crystal Palace change room, I would want to play now. this is the time to play them after that defeat against Atalanta. Of course, I mean, to say that the Premier League is any different to any other, football in itself, and that's what we love about football in its entirety, is the fact that it is very, very rare that you, I think, Bayer Leverkusen at the moment, unbeaten. That is an anomaly in itself, because teams can get beaten. Crystal Palace can play, and as like I said, there's a better style about Crystal Palace since Roy Hodgson dropped out of the job, and they look more organised. They look very organised today, very, very organised. There was a bit that looked a bit like the Atlanta game, where, as you said, the sort of the mid-block, it was more of like a sort of open marking zone type thing, which was very impressive, and Liverpool found it very, very difficult. Once they had the game almost, you could see Palace drop back into a low block. I mean, if it was easy in the Premier League, then people wouldn't watch it. It would be like another league not too far from here where the usual team wins 10 years in a row and, you know, people get bored of it. Palace deserve credit for what they got today, as in winning the game, and everyone played a part in that. Having said that, I still think that there were opportunities for Liverpool which have happened so many times, which weren't taken, which could have completely changed everything.
We can hear from the boss now. Here's what Jurgen Klopp had to say to the media in his post-match press conference.
Obviously a difficult day, Jurgen. You said to the BBC the team, you felt the team lack conviction. Do you think that's been maybe the case for a few games now?
Look, I think the problem is a little bit that I'm not 100% sure that the general how we dealt with the United games particularly helped. I mean, we lost the game in the cup, and it was like a catastrophe because we were that good and lost it anyway. Then we draw there, were really good for a long spell and just drew it, and we have conceded a little bit. That's now not the reason for today, it's a few weeks back anyway. But you start to ask about a few weeks. So the problems we had in the United games were completely different to the things we had today. The goals we concede are too easy. That's probably a general thing, that's true. I said what I said about the game today, so we all players included, me included, obviously we expected a reaction, and we saw a reaction that we lost in that game more than only the game a little bit, so it didn't help. You could just see, and on top of that, the game before the United, where we lost points, so we just were always too wide. And the goal we concede is now the goal that ends up with as a completely free in the box. That cannot happen. So, but we had other moments where they didn't end up in front of our goal, where we were just not together. So you cannot, let me say like that, if you press with 80%, you better don't. But because that makes no sense then, because we had here and there, I think Curtis was really going for it, following through, stuff like that. Besides that, first line, a bit too far away from each other, no real impulse. Maka and Vataro, maybe normal, didn't really follow. And the last line was too deep as well. So that's where Crystal Palace had too much possession in these moments. We had to run in the wrong direction. We're 1-0 down and had to constantly, and obviously that doesn't feel great. We cannot gain momentum in these moments. So halftime, 1-0 down, fine. That's how it is. And obviously, the second half is a really good home game. It's a really good game. They didn't have, I'm not sure they had chances really, but we had a lot. The big ones, the four, where everybody would think, yeah, that should be a goal, and other moments where we were nearly there. So there we had momentum, that we were in the game, that we could put them under pressure. And that's now how it is. So we showed the right direction in the game, so we didn't give in or whatever and thought, okay, that's another day off or whatever. Not at all. The boys really tried hard. But in the end, it was not enough. We have to admit that as well. Oh, and the conviction I talked about was really, that was, no, we were really too, our formation was never there for real causing Palace problems. The diagonal balls they play, you can only defend by putting the guy on the ball under pressure. There's no other chance to do that. When we didn't do that, that means they could play them and the whole formation have to run constantly, making runs. You do them, to defend them, but it's not for winning the ball, it's just for defending them, and that's a big difference.
You know, it's probably difficult today, but what does it mean in terms of where you are in the tenders? Because you've dropped 5 points in just the last two games.
No, it's easy. I understand it 100%. It's, of course, you have to ask this question, what does it mean for the title race and stuff like this? I'm not dumb. Do I know that? And the answer is pretty easy. If we play like in the first half, why should we win the league? If we play like in the second half, if we can win football games. So if we can win football games, then we will see how many we can win, and then we will see what we have to be around when the other guys now struggle, if they struggle. So that's how it is. And for us, obviously, we have to win football games anyway. So, now a string of 4 away games, if I'm right. So that would have been tough anyway. Will be tough, but we have to, and we know that. It's obviously, that's clear, that we have to deal with that now. And that's the easy thing. There's nothing else really to say. The criticism in these moments is completely fine and absolutely right. It's all about how we deal with it. In the first half, we didn't deal particularly well with the situation, but second half, we pulled ourselves together and should have won the game, but we didn't do. I saw the result, and that's it.
In general, in terms of the team, do you feel that there's maybe a bit of fatigue set in, or you've got some players not quite at top form?
Yeah. You make that now, I understand as well. I see the same game like you do. Did Vataro and Makar play now a little bit too much in the last few weeks? Maybe. They were the two most used, especially Makar. The other guys came back from injury. Now, I would say Kurt today really good. Dom came back from injury, stuff like this, kind of a rhythm. I think for the situation Trent is in, that was really good, but hey, I don't think he could now play 120 minutes, let me say it like that. Robbo came back from injury, all these kind of things. So a couple of players had to play a lot, and a couple of players had was interrupted. That's a bit the situation. But it's actually not too interesting for us if we find out for that the real answer. We have just to make sure that we don't think about where we are coming from, whether injured or not, and we just have to make sure we find a way to beat the specific opponent in front of us. And for that, it's always like this. For winning, you always find, as a manager, you find a lot of explanations. This was great, this was great. When you lose, it's not as easy to find these things, and they might be obvious, but it's not about now putting the finger into that or that or that. As it, you always, the solution is always being really together on the pitch for us. Where we are, we got because we were against the ball an absolute machine, and that's what we have to be. In that moment, we have the rhythm, we have the momentum in the game. It's difficult for the opponent. They don't feel great. We feel much better, and then these boys can really play football. Today they showed that in a really difficult situation that they can do that, and that was good. But it doesn't feel great anyway now because we lost the game, and we planned this day completely differently. But here we are, and now, how is that? We have to deal with that.
So you just have to come to Conor Bradley.
Yeah, how it is on these days, and then something like that happens as well. Connor overstretched his foot slightly. First moment, you know, but Connor felt what didn't look great. Now I heard a little bit like it settled quite quickly, but I don't know. Is the ligament damaged or not? I don't know. So we will get these informations tomorrow or Tuesday, but. Yeah, it was very painful for him, so that's not cool.
All right, there, just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are 2 series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and their careers on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club,
how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax. And there's lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now. Do make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's.
Liverpool haven't really had a blip in the Premier League this season. We've just chosen now to be the moment we have it. Not ideal, but it's about coming through that blip as quickly as possible. Earlier in the season, Arsenal have had sticky spells. I think it was the turn of the year for them, wasn't it? City have had a sticky spell at times. This is ours now. It's how you get through it, how quickly you get through it.
Definitely, and that's why there's still only 2 points in it, because the other teams have had that blip, and it's as equal as it is going into the last six. So it's right for the lads to be down. They're only human. It's up to the senior lads, and you know, looking across the whole board of the Liverpool squad now, they're full of young up and coming, really good talent. They've got, you know, a lot of senior boys who's won a lot of silverware there. It's up to them to get the whole group, as well as, you know, the gaffer and his backroom staff ready for that next game, getting on the train, whether they fly down, train down to Fulham, and getting that result that gets them, you know, back in the talk of title contenders, which they still are.
How would you approach Thursday now, David, if you were Jurgen? Because I suppose there are two different elements, aren't there? There's one, some people will say, well, it's done. You're not going to turn it around, so why bother? Focus all your attention on the Premier League. Or there's people who might say, well, it's not done. But even if it is done, you need to be going into Fulham with a positivity, sort of spring in your step. You don't want to be going there having lost over in Bergamo.
Yeah, I mean, there's a middle ground, isn't there? You can win there and still get knocked out of the competition, in the sense that you achieve the 90 minutes worth of football, the goal of winning that game. But even that's not a good position, because you've just been knocked out of Europe. So in my head, and the simplistic way is, you go there, try and win 4-0, take it extra time, penalties or whatever, win the tie, and then worry about Fulham after. On the back of the last three results, I would lean even more towards that, rather than thinking that you're in a good position to be able to kind of just focus more on Fulham than you are on Europe. I mean, you know, confidence is a big thing in football, as we know. And I think the easiest way of getting confidence in football players is by winning games of football. Simplistic, but effective. The next game is Atalanta. Go there and win.
And also, I suppose, you throw in that confidence, massive part of it, as David says. If you were to go to Italy, imagine if you pulled off the impossible and you win the game 4-0 and you go through. All of a sudden, people's view from the outside of this team is, whoa, whoa, don't write them off. And then that gets carried into the Premier League. So there's so many things that can be at play going into that game in Italy as well.
I think anyone who watches football understands that Liverpool are that team that can cause that, you know, quick turnaround and get a result that us as fans are wanting them to get over in Italy. So definitely we can't write them off for the Thursday, and they'll come out that block, I think, starting like they did the second half here today. Their XG was there today. Well, you know, as much as we go on about that stat nowadays, but they could have the same XG on Thursday and score three. It's really as, you know, as easy as that, and we're hoping they do that to have that confidence going into that game down south in Fulham, and hoping that, you know, we get a favour off Arsenal, off Aston Villa today down at the Emirates.
Started daydreaming then myself. Wouldn't it be good if we won 4-0? That'd be brilliant going into the weekend now. You know, it is unlikely, but it's not impossible. You know, I think Mai mentioned the word senior players. It's about the way they sort of deal with the rest of the group now in the days following this result. You know, if the senior players in that dressing room are going into it and saying, look, you know, we need to be at it in Italy, and they start with that intensity, we know they can do, with the quality, the Virgils, Moes and all these kind of guys, it could be a very different picture after 30 minutes. You know, Liverpool could quite conceivably have scored a couple of goals, and all of a sudden, everything has changed, and the whole narrative around the team changes in a very short space of time.
Yeah, Atalanta don't suddenly become the best team in Italy because they beat Liverpool here 3-0 the other day. And this is the point. They had a good 90 minutes, a very good 90 minutes. Again, opportunities. I don't think they had that many clear-cut chances on without going regurgitating the game, but Kelleher was a big save at the beginning, whatever. So there are chances for Liverpool to be able to do this. What I love about where we are now, we're kind of trying to feel like Virgil van Dijk or Alisson in that changing room. The experience of these players is long as the post-match sort of analysis is done properly, they'll look at it and they'll say, OK, we had this chance. It was saved by Henderson. We had that chance. It was saved by Henderson. This was what we did wrong. This is what we did for the goal, whatever. And as long as they understand why it happened and they're able not to get in that position again, i.e. with regards to negative things, then they go into the game saying, well, we're a good enough team. And we're in a title chase because we are good enough to be in a title chase, not through luck. And therefore, we are capable of scoring four goals, which we've done on numerous occasions this season already. So they can go into the game, win it 4-0. And as you say, then I think the crowd's positivity is as important as the player. And we can never mention the 12th man or the crowd's influence on the positive aspects of football if they don't do something like today. I don't think they had the opportunities to get really behind the team. Early goal against, half chances, misses and all that stuff. Win 4-0, Liverpool supporters going to Fulham will be in strong voice and confident.
That would be a bus to be on. The thing about the last three games as well is you could sort of separate out moments in the game. Today, chances created, not take another day to go in. The game in midweek, you can see why Atalanta were able to get through us at times, but you can also point to the fact, well, on a different day, the ball's nicked there's space for you to break into, you can make something of that. And you go back to last weekend, you can say with the United game, chance should have scored. So it's not like you're looking at these three games and we were awful across those three games and haven't done anything. And if you're doing the analysis and the debrief and the coaching staff, that's the kind of thing that they can hang their hat on this week, I would imagine, with the players.
Yeah, definitely. And anyone who takes a keen interest in football knows that starting with the game against United, how many shots they did have, they could have easily won the game, Liverpool, that day. So going into Atalanta midweek, they took the chances. The second goal was phenomenal, I thought, for them. It was today again. Palace had the better chance of the first half. They went in 1-0 at half time. Jurgen said that it wasn't a very good first half. They changed, came out better second half. He goes on about having Trent back. It's massive. Gakpo, I thought, came on, made a good impact from the bench today. Curtis just didn't fall to him today. The one screamed across the box, he's just lost his footing. The one-on-one, he could have had two on another day today. He's not started for, well, apart from midweek, he's not started before that for a long time. So you've got to take every positive out of the games and collectively understand that it is just two games within a week, that going into the last 4 weeks or whatever it is, you've got to go into with the right mindset. And these lads will. They haven't won all their silverware. We haven't without having that mindset. And credit to them for that.
What did Andy Robertson make of today's game against Palace? Let's hear from him. He is with our man Peter McDowell.
Robbo, thanks for talking to us. It's a gut-wrenching week, a gut-wrenching day for the players.
Yeah, you can see that again. Hugely disappointing, hugely frustrating. You could feel that in the stands. The first half, we didn't play anywhere near where we can play. I think Crystal Palace were probably hard done by, not going in maybe 2-0 up at least. Second half we were better, but not clinical in front of goal, and that's been the story of the games recently. And if you're not clinical in front of goal, you don't win games, simple as that. We've had six or seven clear cut chances in between 6 to 8 yards, and if you don't hit the net, then you're never gonna win games, and unfortunately we've not managed that. And that's why we're standing here talking about a defeat, and hugely frustrating.
We've had so much resolve, haven't we? So many points that you've won from losing positions. There was always that faith that it was going to happen again. At some point, though, it just isn't your day.
Yeah, but we had, we've spoke about that as well, and we've said we can't keep relying on our comebacks. We can't. It's impossible. You can't keep doing it season after season after, game after game after game. You have to, get on the front foot, get the first goal, be on top, go after them. and we've not managed that. You know, again, slow start, Palace to capitalise on it, could have been 2-0 up easily. And then, you know, second half, then, OK, you start fighting back, you try and create chances, which we did. And then if you don't hit the back of the net, like I said, it's the amount of chances we had is so frustrating. And yeah, you know, obviously, all of us in front of goal just now aren't exactly in a hot streak, and we're not keeping clean sheets. So, you know, the results are never going to be in our favour.
You'll allow yourself to be disappointed, to be hurt today, and then tomorrow thought to turn to the fight back, and that's what you will keep doing, you will keep fighting.
Yeah, of course we are. You know, we've got six Premier League games left. Got a game on Thursday that we'll go over and try everything that we've got. And yeah, like this group of lads, we'll never stop fighting, but hugely frustrating to be in the position that we're in now. You know, obviously being third and, you know, now relying on two teams dropping points, which, you know, this time last week we shouldn't have been in that position, you know, and that's where the frustration comes from. But that's where we are. It is what it is. And like I said, we need to be perfect from here on in, that's for sure. You know, we can't drop any more points, and let's see what the other two teams do. But yeah, it's just frustrating. And now we're relying on other people when, you know, you could say it was in our hands, but there was still a long way to go. But yeah, hugely frustrating position to be in. But like I says, this club never, you know, we don't stop fighting, and we have to fight in the stands, fight in the pitch, and you know, for the last six games of the Premier League, and you know, let's see where it takes us. But you know, we obviously have to stay. We have to stay positive, and you know, we have to pick everyone up in the you know, in the changing room, because you know, there's a lot of people that are down with, you know, whether they missed a chance, whether they gave the ball away, whatever it is, and we pick up, we go again. We go again on Thursday, and we give everything we've got. That's all we can do.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Yeah, Robert, admitting a lot of players down in that dressing room just now. That's understandable. That's human nature. You're going to be disappointed after today's result and what happened on Thursday. Let's just show you the top of the Premier League table once again, just to underline how things stand. As it stands, of course, Arsenal's game with Aston Villa is in progress at the moment, currently goalless in that match. If it stays like that, that is something to cling on to today. But yeah, the feeling can be that it's doom and gloom, David, but actually when you look at it, it's one result, isn't it? It's one stumble by one of the other teams, which is entirely possible. And sometimes you can get yourself feeling more morose about things than actually you need to be. The picture isn't as bleak sometimes as you immediately think it is.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say before. I mean, immediately after the game, you're going to get all these down feelings. Once you've had time to really process, analyse the game, go through the video with the analysis team, with the manager, with the coaches, whoever it is, and then work out. It's just understanding why things happen quite often. And in the heat of the battle, you don't fully be able to process what's going on. Some of those misses might have not been as bad as they seemed at the time, or it could even be worse, whatever. But just being able to actually analyse it, you look at that table and go, OK, even if Arsenal were to win, luckily today against Aston Villa, there's still an opportunity for Arsenal and Manchester City to drop points. You just have to be in a position to take advantage of it. It just means you've got one less game to do something, but yeah, you can still do it.
If we look at the fixtures remaining for the three teams involved in this title race, the one thing to kind of throw into the mix as well, you know, if you're looking for things that could change the running for both sides, you know, on face value at the moment, we are going out of Europe on Thursday night. The chances are City definitely through, you would think, well, maybe through. Arsenal could very well go through. I've maybe jumped that a bit too far.
Yeah,
both have got a chance to go through, is my point. So they could have semi-finals to deal with and travel to deal with down the line, which we on face value at the moment, might not have to deal with. All of a sudden, it's another pressure thrown into the equation. We, for the first time this season, have clear weeks between games to prepare.
Yeah, I think the closer it gets towards the finish line as well, that will come into consideration. I'm just looking at the fixtures there, thinking that, you know, Tottenham away for Arsenal is a huge derby down there. It's going to be one of those games.
Man City have only scored one goal at Tottenham's new stadium. Yeah, then you say that was in the FA Cup.
So you're looking at that thinking Spurs are going to hopefully get something from both them games, the way their managers come in and for the better for them.
Had a soft spot for Liverpool growing up as well, so we could throw that into there.
Wow, exactly, yeah. We are clashing in the moment. sorry, I interrupted your mind. The one thing I love about this, you know, projecting these figures. Last weekend, this was the 3 points for Liverpool against Crystal Palace at home. So there's a bit that we never know, but I think what is good is the fact that it, at the moment, depending on how that Arsenal-Villa game's going, it's only 2 points. At the worst, it's going to be 3 points. Well, any one of those games can trip up any one of the other two teams. It still means that Liverpool have, like Andy Roberts said very well, basically just win every game.
Yeah, that's the real challenge, isn't it? It's you need to make sure that when that stumble comes, you're in a position to capitalise. The worst thing would be that further down the line, we see Spurs win against either of the two teams, or both the two teams, or somewhere they stumble, and the same day, the day before, we've slipped up in a game. It's when those next group of games, isn't it? And just keep the pressure on, because pressure does funny things to teams. Scrutiny does funny things to teams.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the lads here in the dressing room at Liverpool will be sitting down together, knowing that this is Klopp's last season. So more so than ever, they're going to put as much effort into winning as many games as they can for him to go out. Listen, he'll go out on a high anyway with what he's won at this club, but they'll be in that dressing room come when that result for the other teams doesn't go their way. The lads there will all be, I think, because of the circumstances of Klopp leaving, will give the extra effort over the other two sides, and that'll be, you know, the lasting hope that the fans here, as well as them last two home games we've got here at Anfield, is going to be key over the next, you know, 4 weeks.
It'll be interesting to see how we manage to deal with these away games coming up, because that's where things will be decided. You know, if we're sitting here in 8 days' time, 10 days' time, and we've not won at Fulham, we've not won at Everton, then all of a sudden that becomes a far different picture to where we are now. It's getting results on the road will be the real test of this title charge now.
Yeah, and Liverpool, I keep going back to Robbo, but I think we've said it ourselves probably anyway. You know, they're not in the privileged position where they can afford to drop points. So away form and home form. Again, the irony is we stood here after Liverpool being beat at home by Crystal Palace, when no one envisaged Liverpool losing, let alone not winning at home. So Liverpool just have to win anywhere at the moment. And again, talking about confidence, going to Atalanta, win the game. Yes, losing, winning 2-0 and getting knocked out of the competition isn't ideal, but that's better than going out there and just losing and getting knocked out of the competition. It would be a better position that the team can get the confidence if they need it, which possibly they do, according to what Robbo and Jurgen are saying. They need their confidence to go into Fulham and go, look, we can win games. What are we worrying about for the last few weeks? We can win these games, we can win the remaining six games, and we can ask Manchester City and Arsenal, have you got enough to win the extra game to take the title away from us?
We've also found as well, with Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp, they don't often get into bad runs of results. They very rarely have bad results back-to-back, actually. This week's a bit of an anomaly. They generally respond well, and they're also very good at finding a way to win. In situations, we saw it with the Champions League qualification when Alisson scores against West Brom. We've seen it a couple of times before where they need to get results in the dying embers in a run like this to get something. They're very good at doing it. So you just kind of think, well, these next few games coming up, they'll probably find a way to get positive results. It's just in the nature of what they've done for the last 7 or 8 years.
Definitely, yeah. And I think the fans know that, as well as being one of the best, you know, group of fans in the world. They owe that to, you know, the players here who do try their hardest for the fans to get the silverware they've got over the last few years with Jurgen. So I think they'll be going into, you know, Atalanta, like Robbo said, trying the best to get something out of the game. He's frustrated with, you know, the finishing and talks about the lads not being on exactly a hot streak at the minute in front of goal. That can change in an instant. I think the other teams in and around Haaland the past few weeks, you know, previous to his last game, has been out of form. So you just want it to be at the right time, like you touched on before. It's that time of the season where a result on Thursdays, you know, it's big. Even bigger is staying in the title race, going down to form away, getting a result, coming back home, them home games to Tottenham, the Wolves one, hoping that you're still in contention then, and giving, you know, the send-off that this manager is a legend deserves.
We were speaking a little bit earlier, David, about how to approach Thursday, and you kind of say you're probably erring towards go all out, do what you can in it, really push to try and turn it around rather than just sort of writing it off. What do you think he'll do in terms of selection for that? Then, if you're Jurgen Klopp, based on what you've seen in the last couple of games, based on the fact that you've got a few players back in the equation now, we don't know what's happening with Conor Bradley. Obviously, put him to one side. But what do you think you would do if you were Jurgen for Italy?
First thing, you have to look at it and say, how do we qualify for the semi-finals? How do we get through this tie with a victory? First of all, you need to score 3 goals and not concede any. What else you need to do? And then start looking at the players, look at the confidence side of it. Realistically, you go into that game and you think to yourself, I'm trying to purposely plan this. You think, if we're not 2-0 up at half-time, then the chance of us actually winning this is going to be, let's just take 2-0, whatever. You're going to have to make major adjustments in-game. Just like if you're 3-0 up after 10 minutes, you might have to do something slightly different. But you go there to try and win the tie, to try and get through to the next round. Your next step is, right, well, let's get away with the victory. Next step is, let's not lose. And then obviously the final step is, well, if it's the worst case scenario, what do we do then? But this is all geared towards Fulham being in the best position to win the game. And like we've said here, you go and win 4-0 at Atalanta, no injuries, great performance. Well, that's got to be the best tonic to go to Fulham to face them in the Premier League. So win that one, qualify. Games are really simple.
But do you think, based on what you've seen in the last couple of games, do you think, for example, Diogo Jota could start in Italy? Would you be tempted to, given he has that knack of delivering a goal?
With regards to personnel, I mean, and again, it's almost bookends the conversations. Ali gets in the starting lineup today because he was fit enough to play. Diogo Jota has been involved. I think Trent today was the slight anomaly because at half-time he's doing a warm-up, but not to come on. And then within a minute of the second half, Bradley's down and then Trent's back on. So Trent arguably might not have been involved today, if not maybe even like 10, 15 minutes to the end of the game. So he was kind of fast-forwarded into the situation. I think Diogo Jota's ready. He was brought on the other day, he's brought in today. I think he's ready to maybe start. I think Jurgen might have, again, without contradicting myself, the chances were created today to win the game. They just weren't converted. Mo didn't create as many chances as we thought he normally would do. In midweek, he didn't get the goal, he had the one goal that was disallowed, didn't he? But he wasn't creating the chance. So there might be an argument that, you know, Mo's the one who needs a little bit more of a rest, and there's an opportunity. Mo came on as a sub, didn't he? But for Jota to start in there. So, yeah, only Jurgen knows where the players are at. We can't say that he's done his player recovery map well before the show and say he's got it wrong now. So whatever the map has in store for the likes of Diogo, Jurgen knows what it is.
The crucial thing is, and this point that David made, it's not just about going scoring 4 goals, it's keeping it tight in the back. So there's a responsibility there as well for who gets picked at the back.
Yeah, and he mentioned that about the tactical indiscipline from the first leg. He'll go over there and watch the VT back after the first game, see where they did go wrong in that aspect, and I'm sure it'll be a lot tighter at the back with trying to create the chances that they need to score 3 goals. I think Trent would be a massive addition having him back in the side, because a lot of Liverpool's chances come through Trent.
That is it from this latest episode of The Reaction. We'll be back with more analysis and interviews from Italy on Thursday night after the second leg of Liverpool's Europa League quarter-final against Atalanta. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.